Good morning and welcome to Christchurch as we persevere through these strange days. This may be a pale imitation of meeting together on a Sunday morning, but surely we have a God who transcends our current circumstances and can make this online Sunday reflection a meaningful act of worship. Greetings too to any who are listening later, who are from outside Christchurch. You too are equally welcome. Let me pray before we start. Heavenly Father, still our hearts and grant us the gift of coming into your presence this morning. Help us to set aside the distractions of wherever we're listening from and to focus on you. Give us too, Lord, a sense of joining with our brothers and sisters at Christchurch. Accept this time as an act of worship to you, our living God. Amen. We're continuing in our series in Ephesians, and in a moment we'll have a reading from Pat, Bobby's reflection, and our intercessions brought to us by Charlotte. But first, many of you, I'm sure, will have been blessed by Joanne and the pastoral care team, whether that's been in times of illness or bereavement, and whether that's been through prayer or a listening ear or a timely visit, or whether that's been through practical support like a lift to hospital or helping with shopping. This morning, we'll be hearing about Paul's calling into his unique ministry in the church, so we thought it might be interesting to hear from Joanne about her ministry in Christchurch and how that came about. So, Joanne, thank you very much for agreeing to do this. To start with, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and about your role within Christchurch?
Well, I was born and grew up in Northern Ireland, and I moved to England in 2002. I'm married and we have a daughter, a 10-year-old daughter. The interesting thing is that I never knew really what I wanted to do. So just talking about jobs. So consequently, I ended up having lots of different jobs. So I've been a cook, a secretary, a classroom assistant, to name but a few. And I guess I found some of those jobs hard, but they became like a valuable learning experience and gave me life skills. And before I actually left Northern Ireland, I found myself praying this prayer and saying to God, well, you know what I do really enjoy? I enjoy helping people. And I found myself praying that prayer for many, many years, actually. Lord, I just want to help people. I can truly say that God has really answered that prayer in giving me the opportunity to be the pastoral care coordinator for Christchurch.
Can you tell us some of the ways in which God has equipped you to do this particular role?
Well, I think first and foremost, he has given me a team of pastoral carers. I am blessed by people who are willing to give their time and their energy to help others. And it really is a privilege to be able to lead a team who do so willingly give their time. And I'm thankful to God that they are people with servant hearts and skills and abilities that want to work in pastoral care. I'm also so grateful and thankful to my home group, who are always ready to listen and to support me, and friendships as well, people who encourage me and help me to grow in my faith. So I'm blessed by all of those different people. God has equipped me in specific situations at times, and I feel has really answered prayer. So there was a situation where it seems quite small now, but actually at the time it made a big difference, where people who weren't on the team actually stepped in and helped in this particular situation, and it made a really big difference. And the encouragement, I guess, Peter, that I get from someone just saying, you always seem to phone just at the time when I need it. So I'm just so thankful to God that he works in that way and equips you in these different situations. I do wish at times I had more stamina, and at times I've gone to bed exhausted, shattered, and sort of feeling, will I be able to, you know, do it again tomorrow? But he always gives me the strength and the help that I need for the next day. And I'm just so grateful for his faithfulness to me.
Do you think there are some ways in which you sort of don't feel equipped, or you think maybe feel inadequate to the task?
I think, my role continues to be a learning curve, definitely. And I know that, I guess, there's always going to be challenging situations because maybe all things all come sort of at once, and I can feel overwhelmed, but I need to learn, and I am learning. God is teaching me to rely on him, to recognise that he's in control and he is sovereign. And I guess there's no better place to leave somebody and their situation than in God's hands. And what I should have said earlier was I am learning to rely on God more and to pray more and to trust him more. Mm-hmm. But it's just recognising that and, as I say, leaving those situations in his hands, really. I mean, I'll be honest in that I do lack self-confidence, and I do struggle with low self-worth and doubts and insecurities, but I know that God is changing me, and that little by little he is graciously showing me his truth, and I'm so thankful to God for that. I was thinking back as I was preparing this, just to think about what Chris Turner said a couple of weeks ago when he said, you know, with God, change is afoot. He is a God of change. He is a God that wants us to keep on changing and growing. And I'm so grateful to him for his help.
So just to finish, are there some things I could pray for you?
Yes, please, Peter. For myself, that I would have energy, I would have the stamina that I need, that God would help me when it comes to just delegating and knowing when it's right to say yes, but sometimes when it might be right to say no as well to things. For the team and myself, it would be that would work well as a team, that God would equip us with his Holy Spirit and give us wisdom in the pastoral situations that we face. And also that we could set those good boundaries of looking after others and ourselves and our families, you know, that we would set those good boundaries.
Oh, Lord God, we do thank you for Joanne. I'm sure I'm praying for the whole church then. We thank you for her role and the enthusiasm and the love that she brings to it. Lord, I pray you would give her that strength and stamina. Pray that you would give her wisdom to know about boundaries, wisdom when to perhaps stop and to say no. I pray you would help her to become more reliant on you as well. Lord, I pray that you would bless the whole team. I pray they would work together well. Pray they too would be wise about setting boundaries as they work together to serve other members of the church. Lord, we do thank you for Joanne. Strengthen her and bless her, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the Church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, blessed, redeemed, utterly loved, adopted children of God. I hope you're well. As we begin, let me pray. Loving God, I ask that this morning we might continue to grow in grasping how wide and long and high and deep your love for us is, and in understanding your purposes for your people. Amen. So we're continuing to look at the letter to the Ephesians. We've already considered God's generous blessing and privileges to us, looked at how together we are to grow in getting to know God better, and seen how God's purposes are to bring together all believers, whatever their heritage, into one household. This morning we're considering how these purposes of God are to be worked out in the world. 6 times in the first 3 chapters, Paul uses the word together. He uses pictures of believers being a people, a body, fellow citizens, a household, a building, a temple, and a dwelling for God himself. So whatever God's purposes might be, they definitely involve being together. An interdependence. To go back to the previous chapter, it's not much use being a single brick, but built together, supporting each other, we become a beautiful thing. And in practical, day-to-day, here and now terms, that beautiful thing is Christchurch Selly Park. Yes, we are part of the worldwide church and we have responsibilities to care and support and live in unity with our brothers and sisters across the globe. But most of the time when Paul is talking about the church, he's writing about local expressions. The word use means an assembly or a gathering, a meeting. In verse 10 he writes, his, that is God's intent, was that now through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purposes that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eugene Peterson in the Message translation makes it much clearer. He writes, through Christians like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Who knew it? Christ Church, our church, isn't just a place to go along to on a Sunday morning, which we can't even physically do at the moment. It's part of the extraordinary plan of God for making himself known. The church is part of God's divine purposes. The creation of a new and reconciled humanity, a multicultural, multiracial church, reflected in all its facets in the local church. We're not only children of God reconciled to God, but we're family reconciled to one another. The church is an important part of the gospel. Good news of a new society, a new way of living, as well as the promise of a new life. This gathering together isn't just individuals turning up, listening, joining in with the responses, singing and going home. It's not like going to the theatre or to the cinema, just an activity to do. It's about being connected to the parts of the body. If we're missing, then the whole church is poorer for it. If you're missing, then we all miss out. And it's so difficult at the moment when we can't gather together in person. We must keep finding other ways of staying connected. We need to look to see how we can be creative. One of the ways that the church witnesses to the world is through love. Jesus said, "All people will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another." We need to find ways to show that love. So if church is important to God, then it has to be important to us too. John Stott writes, "If the church is central to God's purposes, then it must also be central to our lives. How can we take lightly what God takes seriously?" But God's purposes are also worked out through individuals in the church, exercising a particular calling, gift, or fulfilling the good works God has for them. Paul writes in this chapter about how he's been called by the grace of God to reveal the gospel to the Gentiles. A plan that was revealed to him in the book of Acts when he was first called. In verses 2-3, we see that God's first gift to Paul was that revelation of the mystery of the gospel. God's second gift was the ministry of sharing it with others. Someone else wrote, "All revealed truth is held in stewardship. It's given to be shared, not to be monopolised." It would seem that in some ways Paul didn't feel up to the job. He describes himself as the least of the least. He was the one who had previously persecuted those who believed. He'd blasphemed against Jesus. He was very conscious of his own unworthiness. My guess is that this is something that we can identify with. It's easy to believe that we aren't up for doing much for the church, that we haven't got much to offer, that there are others better qualified and more able. We still have got too much to learn. We haven't been around very long. The dog ate my Bible. All sorts of excuses. Paul knew what God was asking him to do. He was beyond grateful for what Christ had done for him. And this is probably the bit that we need to grasp. He knew that God's power was at work in him to enable him to do what God was asking of him. So he said yes, and he got on with it. It has to be said, in worldly times, it didn't always work out great. This letter is thought to have been written while Paul was in prison in Rome. But Paul still saw the gospel and his calling to preach it as gifts from God, an honour and a blessing. We heard from Jo Rose earlier. God has called her and gifted her to head up our pastoral care team. I'm sure she doesn't always feel up to the job, but she's faithful and she's brought many blessings and much hope to many of our church family. And we really thank you, Jo. She's not the only one. As members of Christ Church, we are all part of God's extraordinary plan. We all have our part to play, and together we can help God fulfil his purposes. Together we can make a difference. Together, all doing our bit, we can bring light to the darkness so others can know the blessings of being adopted into God's family. It's tough working out how to do that at the moment, but God will equip and enable us to do what he asks us to do, if we are willing. Let's go back to Eugene Peterson's translation of verse 10, and let me encourage you to ponder this today and think about how you can be part of working it out. Through Christians like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray for those countries in the world where there is currently unrest. We think of Myanmar following the coup last week. We pray that you would bring peace and order to the people of that country and that democracy will be respected. We think also of the Uyghur Muslims in China as further abuses come to light. We ask that there will be justice for these and other persecuted groups. We thank you that in this country there are positive reports this week that we look to be past the peak. We think of all those who've lost loved ones and pray that you are with them as they mourn. We pray for energy for the health workers as they continue to work hard to look after those who are affected and continue the vaccination programme. We also pray for energy for other key workers after a difficult winter. Lord, we think of those in positions of leadership in this country as they start to look forward to reopening society. We pray that you would give them wisdom to plan to do this safely. Following Brexit, in this country we are in a more isolated position on the world stage. We pray that you would help us to work with others and honour our responsibilities for international aid and vaccinations to countries not as well off as our own. We also ask that you would bring clear solutions to the issues of the border in Ireland and that this wouldn't result in a reignition of previous conflicts. As we think this morning about unity within the church, we thank you for our church family both in Christchurch and across the world. It's been difficult in the last year to feel connected with those local to us, let alone those in other countries. We will pray that you would remind us of the unity of the church and the importance of making connections locally and with the church around the world. We ask that you would bring to our minds in this moment those who you want us to connect with this week. We thank you also for those in our church who work so hard to keep us connected and to minister to us. We thank you for those in the ministry team, the pastoral team, the music group, the youth group, and the technical team, among others, who are using their gifts to honour you at this time. We pray that as we look forward to being able to meet together again in the future, you would help us all to learn lessons from this period and to see your plan for us going forward. We offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me finish with this prayer. Root and establish us, O God, not in soil but in your love. And through those roots, give us all that we need to grasp, together with all God's holy people, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And knowing this love, fill us to the measure of all the fullness of God, today and through this coming week. Amen. Join us again next week when we'll be considering unity and diversity as we look at Ephesians chapter 4. Until then, goodbye.